Welcome to Get Married, Stay Married. This is your host, Lady T.
And I'm your co-host, Pastor Randall Crawford. Hey, you.
Hey, you.
How you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Let's get it.
How are you guys? And that's the question.
Yeah, how y'all doing?
Okay. This episode is called Marrying Your Finances. Marrying Your Finances. And this can be a touchy subject for those dating and for those that are already married. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree.
I have a lot to say about the finances because that's my jam. But I'm going to start with this 50-50 notion in finances. Okay, I'm going to start with 50-50. And I'm going to start with saying that no marriage is 50-50. He's over here yawning, y'all. I'm putting him to sleep already. Come on. No marriage is 50-50. There's going to be days where your spouse is tired. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Your spouse may have health concerns. Your spouse may be working 16, 17 hours on their shift. Your spouse may have just given birth. Your spouse may have two children she or he's taking care of, and the other person's working. There's a million different scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're keeping tabs, if you're trying to divide housework and actual work and all that stuff down the middle evenly, or what you think is evenly, that's problematic. And I'm not saying that one person's off the hook or the other. I'm just saying that if you tried to take a whole number and split it, okay, you could split a whole number, but you really can't split life like that. And so if your approach to marriage is, well, we're just going to go straight down the middle with this marriage and the finances are the exact same way, that could prove to be problematic. What do you have to say?
I think that nothing is 50-50. I think that sometimes it's 70-30, sometimes it's 80-20. It depends. It really depends.
And can I interject? Even with that 80-20, on that day, that's that person's 100%.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Right.
It's not a big deal. And when you throw finances into the mix, you shouldn't. People tend to get mad over finances. You know, you really shouldn't hold anything over anyone's head. Mm-hmm. Okay, when it comes to finances, you know, if you're transparent with your finances and mm-hmm. your marriage and how you should mesh them anyway, you should know what this person has and what you have. And now what you both have is more than what you would have had as a single person.
Okay, that's a different part of this podcast, because what I'm hearing is that a lot of couples don't want to mesh what they've accumulated for fear of divorce, for fear of the marriage ending, okay, for fear of just something going wrong. Mm-hmm. So it's not an all-in situation. They just want to put into whatever the home and that they have
but
together.
But that's marriage, though. You're being vulnerable.
I understand. I agree. Yeah. I agree. And I think that it sounds like fear there. It's like, you know, before you even get started, you're saying, well, if this isn't going to work, I'm just going to keep everything that I've worked for and anything that I currently earn while I'm in the marriage or while we're dating. I'm not going to let you know really what's going on. I'm just going to say, okay, what kind of life do we want to build together? And I'm going to put into that. That's mm-hmm. It seems kind of fake in that sense. I don't know
if it's fake. I just think that's just the way a lot of people do things. And I think that's what they've been taught to do, shield themselves, take care of themselves. When you're in a marriage, everything is everything. There's no holding back anything. You shouldn't be holding back anything. You should be transparent in your marriage. And that includes with the finances.
Yes, I'm going to get to communication, but I'm going to backtrack and explain myself what I mean by fake. What I mean is that if there is no communication and you are holding back, this is your spouse. If there's a way to help them, right, you can genuinely build. And the building mindset should be between the two of you. You should be on the same page with the building mindset. I am growing a family in God. And so if you're holding back finances and you're like, I see that they may have a little debt here or whatever. Just, I'm not talking about insurmountable debt because that's not your problem if they came into the marriage with that. What I'm saying is like, oh, I could help them out because I'm in a better situation. And you look at that and you don't look from a position of help, then that's wrong.
Yeah, it is wrong because you have to help. You made vows to this person. And if you have more than this person, you shouldn't look at it like you have more. You should look at it like what I have, you have now. We can get you out of this so we're not in this situation.
Yes. So this is where communication comes in. Because when you're dating someone, there's a couple things that you need to keep in mind. First of all, open, honest, transparent communication about everything, mm-hmm. and specifically about money, meaning how much you make, your spending habits, and those, all of that. Just lay it on the table. But in addition to communicating about it, you need to sit back. And this is why time is your best friend here. And you need to watch to see if the words that they're saying matches up with the actions. So they say, you know, I pay all my bills. I save what I can save. These are my goals, X, Y, Z. But then their actions don't add up to that. Then you have a red flag in dating, right? You agree?
Yeah, I agree. Because dating is a preview. If you're in love with somebody and you're dating this person, it's a preview of what you're going to marry. If you're really trying to tie this knot with this human being to become one with this person. And whatever kinks there is within the dating scene that you have with this person, you need to work them out before you even go into the marriage. You're going to have the same problems that you had while you were dating. You don't want that. Trust me, you do not want that. And especially if it's financial, because financial is the second greatest reason for people to get divorced or for not to even go into a marriage.
Okay, let's touch on that. So, financial issues, and that's a broad stroke, and I'll explain what I mean, is the second leading cause for divorce. Right. Now, all types of people get married.
Right.
Wealthy, middle class, upper mm-hmm. middle class, low.
Poor.
Below the poverty line.
Mm-hmm.
All of it, right?
Yep.
So those different groups of people have different money issues, right? But they're all money issues.
Yep.
And I'll start with the wealthy. So if you have more, that means that you are making more financial decisions, and these decisions are crucial.
More money, more problems.
Yes, they need to be backed by much education, right? You need to have understanding of how money works and how you need to make it work for you and all of those things.
We call it financial wisdom.
Yes, financial wisdom. So you need more of that. You need it regardless. Mm-hmm. But if you have a whole bunch, that means that you're always thinking about how to keep it so that it can pass on to the next generation. You are doing something different. You're like, I'm creating generational wealth. I already have it. And I'm trying to make sure that I don't lose it. And so you may be working a bunch of hours. You're always distracted, blah, blah, blah. So it's not the actual money that's causing the divorce because you have enough.
Right.
It's the distraction. And it's the fact that you two may not be on the same page about the decisions about the money or how much time is invested to keeping the money. Yeah, the decisions can get major. It's like, oh, you make one bad mistake and you lose some money, even though you still have a lot and the other person's upset about it because it impacts their lifestyle.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it ain't the end of the world, but a conversation needs to be had on how much money you're losing, how much money you're just throwing away. Money doesn't grow on trees, as my mom used to say. It does not grow on trees, but money can grow with financial wisdom.
Right.
And that's the truth.
And so that's, and then you will have the middle class, you know, where there's two working people or one working, one not, one to care the kids, whatever the case may be, and you have what you have, right? And then you would say, well, what's the problem there for divorce with money? And it's like I said, it's really not the money. It's either, because you may think, oh, it's just the lack of, that would be the only reason why people get divorced. No, you're arguing over the decisions that people make because you have to trust them, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have to trust you with the financial decisions that you make, and you have to trust me that I make sound financial decisions.
Yep.
And being the CFO of our company, you have to trust that I'm making sound decisions for our company.
Yeah, I don't even walk in that door.
Yes.
It's
a big trust.
You have to literally trust. And guess what? It doesn't matter if you're poor, you're wealthy, you're middle class, whatever. If love is love, it's going, everything's going to work itself out, because you're going to have compassion when you make a mistake. You're going to be understanding. You're going to say, okay, we could grow from this. We could grow from this and learn from this.
Right. So it brings us back to two people being on the same page. And the reason why I brought out the different classes is because some would think just the lack of would cause divorce. No, it could happen in any economic status. It doesn't matter, because there goes your vows, for richer or for poor. Because if you're poor, you should open up those can of beans, warm it up on a campfire, if that's all you have, okay, and talk about your life goals, how to get out of that situation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you're on the same page. You're both like growth mindset. It doesn't matter where we are now.
Yeah, as long as you're growing together.
Right.
And sincerity. As long as you're growing together, and because someone makes a mistake financially, doesn't mean you got to put them down mentally. Okay? You build them up so they can become wiser and they could get to where you are. So y'all could really be one. It's very, very important.
I think that, and this is where dating is important. Because then you can have those conversations. Like if you're, you know, you're already married and you're like, well, this is what it is. And then you're on different levels financially, or one grows and understands something and they should come back, share with the mm-hmm. other. And then you grow together. But when the resistance to change comes in, I could see that being the leading cause mm-hmm. of divorce. Or if someone has a gambling problem, that's a leading cause of divorce. Or mm-hmm. someone just makes really, they don't think of the family. It's like you did something that now the kids can't eat.
Right.
Like, you know, whatever that is, I don't know. But it's not really the money that's the issue. It's the decision or the person struggling with whatever they're struggling with.
Right.
And drugs and alcohol is a factor that way as well.
Don't forget gambling.
Yes, gambling is huge. And if you need help at all, you should reach out for gambling. Any NA,
or
AA,
or
any at all, mm-hmm. any addiction at all, you should really reach out, because it's not it becomes a financial issue, but it really is. It's much more than that. That's why I'm pulling out those economic things to tell you that it can happen to anyone, any color, any race, yeah. and any economic status. And it's not the fact that it's just lack of money, because you can get more money.
Right.
You can start a life together and build and grow.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are two very different people when it comes to this area, if you think very differently about how you want your life to look, if one of you, let's talk about this, is a save everything versus a spend everything.
Mm-hmm.
If one of you, and women get a bad rap on this, but I guess it could be anyone. If the guy is like, I need a boat, I need a motorcycle, I need this, let's take a second mortgage out, you know what I mean? It's like, those are decisions you have to have together. And if you're not on the same page, the decision should not be made.
Right. Right, that's true. I agree with that, because I believe in value.
Right.
Value. And if you have a home, and it's a nice, decent home, you know, you want to keep that value in that home. Mm-hmm. You don't want to mess that value up in any way. Mm-hmm. That's your wealth. That's part of your wealth. You know, mm-hmm. if most people, that's all the wealth they have, mm-hmm. you know? So you want to make sure you maintain that the right way. And dealing with finances, and we were talking about financial wisdom, God's wisdom with your finances. That's what I mean by that. You literally have to have faith when it comes to finances. You have to have faith. And you got to know that you can't live in boom boom land. Mm-hmm. You got to understand that money don't fall out the sky. You have to understand that you have to work hard for everything.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have a dream, and you got to work towards that dream. You got to have a goal. You got to work towards that goal. You have to have intuition. You got to work towards your intuition. Every single thing. God's not a genie. You know, he wants to see that you're able to cut things and get things done, that mm-hmm. you got fight inside of you, bad or good. He wants to see, mm-hmm. just because you're going through a tough time financially don't mean you got to quit. It just means you strap up, you get going, and you dig down. And I don't mean with the gun. I mean with your Bible, mm-hmm. okay? I mean with spiritual wisdom. And you get going, and you don't look down on the other person who caused the trouble. You help the other person. You lift up. This thing called grace, and we give it heavily because we're Christians first.
Yes, absolutely give grace. I think that if we're talking about it being the leading cause of divorce, I don't think this the leading or the second. Right. My apologies. I think that no one starts off not giving grace.
Right.
I think that it causes so much stress.
It does.
So if you're dating and you come across someone that has a bunch of debt, obviously you're not going to throw everything in one pot because that's a problem unless you have enough to help them,
yeah,
right?
You can't fix that till you get married.
Yeah, okay? so
you need a ring on it.
Yeah, you should say, you know, I wouldn't want... I'm trying to bring an accountability on the other half mm-hmm. because I think that people give grace. Yeah. They do. Until they're like, wait a minute, something's wrong. Everyone is not sound.
Right, that's that work I'm talking about. You got, if someone's giving you grace and you're not giving anything back, you're not working to be better, working to understand what they're saying to you, working to get sound wisdom, working to just be a better person so that you remove the stress by your actions. Mm-hmm. You got to do that. You got to work.
Yeah, I lost my thought, but it's cool because another one came. So when I was younger,
and my bad,
it's fine. All the commercials would be about credit, and all you would hear is you need to have a good score. And so I would have this like weird image in my head, and I did not associate credit with money, mm-hmm. which makes no sense.
Right.
But there's like kind of a mystical thing that's how they want you to think,
mm-hmm.
that it's just a separate thing that exists on its own. Until I realized and got into business, it's like, if you don't have income,
right.
steady stream, mm-hmm. okay, 10K a month is the goal, guys. If you're not there yet, it's not a big deal. If you never make it, if you die without, it's not a big deal. But I'm talking real money talk. If you have a family and you're really trying to do something, depending on what state you're in, that's the minimum you need to be earning, right?
Right.
So try to get there. Don't kill yourself. Don't try to break your neck, you know, to get it. I'm just stating a fact.
Yeah, just have a plan and have faith
right.
in that plan, you know?
Right.
Trust God.
Right. So if you don't associate, and I'm going to throw this to him about a biblical money matters and usury.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't associate credit, debt, things that you owe people, trips, the fancy things, the shoes, the this, the that, all the external things, and you know, the things you just can't take with you or you just gotta have.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't associate it to a monetary value of you earning anything, that's how debt piles up. That's how you get into debt. And I'm not talking about school loans and things like that because that's a separate thing. But I'm talking about things that you didn't necessarily have to have. I'm not talking about emergencies or anything like that. But if you disassociate credit, and if someone say, oh, you can have a great credit score, if you don't even have a job or money coming in, more than likely you probably won't. So just make sure you understand money matters if you're trying to date someone to marry
right.
and to build a family because money and the family go hand in hand.
Good
it's enough. Just something you need. It's not something that should be idolized. The love of money, not money itself, the love of it is the root of all evil. And all kind of stuff comes along with that.
Right.
Right?
Now, God hates usury. Book of Proverbs, Book of Isaiah, Book of Leviticus, Book of Deuteronomy. God hates usury. He does not. He does not want his children, those that love him, those that he loves, to suffer in deep interest. He doesn't want his children to deal with you. Now, we got to buy homes, you know, to live. We need a place to live. And he understands that,
mm-hmm.
okay? He understands that. He understands inflation. He understands a lot. He understands more than you think. We have an understanding, God. But what he wants you to know is that you don't have to live in usury, okay? Everything doesn't have to be usury. Just because you see it and you desire it don't mean you have to have it.
Mm-hmm.
If your income to ratio doesn't fit for that bill, you're in trouble, okay? Now you're in usury,
income to that, yeah.
okay?
Yeah.
You're gonna have a problem, a huge problem. So we understand education. We understand education can bring in usury. It's a need because you gotta get educated so you can make the proper income, so you can take care of yourself and your family and your children. The whole 9 yards, maybe other people as well. But if you have, like I told someone, I said to them one day, they had a Porsche. And I don't own a Porsche, okay? I just don't. And he's a friend of mine. Well, used to be, he's an associate now. And we were going somewhere. And he said, "You want me to pick you up?" And I said, "No, I don't." I said, "I'm good. I'll meet you there." So we get there. He said, "How'd you get here?" I said, "What do you mean, how'd you get here? I got a vehicle, right?" So I pull up in the vehicle. He said, "Oh, that's what you're driving?" I said, "Yeah, that's what I'm driving." He says, "You see what I'm driving, right?" He says, I'm younger than you, but this is what I'm driving." I said, "It's all good." I said, "We both got here the same way." The same way. I said, "How much is your payment on that?" He said, "My payment on this? $680. I said, "You crazy." I said, "Fix your credit, first of all, okay? Because it shouldn't be that much." I said, "Second of all, what's your insurance?" He said, "It ain't that much." He's all together. He's spending like a little over $1,000 for that Porsche. Okay? He said, "What's your payment?" I said, "I don't have one." He said, "What's your insurance?" I said, "It ain't that expensive. I'm not spending over $1,000 on a vehicle in usury when he has another vehicle that's paid for. And he doesn't even need to have that other vehicle. That's usury.
Our parents
one-on-one
would call that your eyes bigger than your stomach, because right. The money is not. If you have it, what can you say to someone that has it and has a bunch of cars?
That's, you got that's, it. That's fine.
That's a non-issue, right? But we're talking about how is it causing divorce? Because you don't have it, right?
Right.
Because he or she went out and made a huge purchase, because of the eyes. You know, or social media made you feel away because it's playing on your emotions. And you're like, we need to take trips as much as this couple here. That's a whole nother episode. Or we need to do this. Or I need this car, you know, and I already have one that's paid off. Our motto is paid off is best.
Right.
Okay. So I'm just going to throw that out there. That's our motto as far as vehicles, if you can. I'm not saying that you cannot lease or finance a vehicle, but you have to do things in moderation and within your own budget.
Right.
You can't stretch that any further than it is.
And then I have a friend who has a lot of vehicles, but he can afford it. He can literally afford it. So he's not in usury with that. But then I have that other guy that I know. He really can't. And he's struggling with it. And I'm like, that's an expensive ride. Up the street. That's an expensive ride on the highway. That's an expensive ride, you know? And we're going the same place.
I think it's about how you look at life. It's about how you look right. at life. There's soundness. There needs to be a soundness that you can pray for within yourself as right. you're dating. A soundness of mind and in financial matters mm-hmm. to say, this is what makes sense. And it don't become annoying with it. You know, this is a problem. I'm hearing the radio chatter about this, splitting everything. Right. Okay, we go out, we go here, we go there. Okay, I need you as my spouse or the person I'm dating to split this gas fare with me because we went to Massachusetts on a date and we went to this restaurant and we're going to split the milk. First of all, this is math, y'all. Only whole numbers can be split equally in two. So you either are moving that decimal, you're saying you owe me $39.27 and a half a penny, and you're like, or, you know, you're saying, well, I'm going to just forget about the 4 cents, and you're holding resentment. And over time, it's like you're literally splitting everything that you do down the middle. Now, you might say, some of my emails, I personally would be careful with splitting numbers that are not whole. Meaning, menial tasks around the house, gas in the vehicles,
food,
groceries, okay? It's not a whole number every time. It's $142.63. And if you don't get the exact amount, there's no way to get 50 out of that. Or the light bill, or this bill, or that bill, or you're going out to dinner. I think you need to have better communication about who's going to do what. Because it could be problematic if you're trying to grow old. Can you imagine doing that for the rest of your life?
That's crazy.
For every single thing?
That's crazy.
It's more like a business transaction.
It is. It's crazy. You don't split a mortgage.
Some people do.
Yeah. But I don't know. I, if I'm married you know? And I'm working. My wife's not working. She's working. I'm not working. It's our money. It's really not a split anyway.
Right.
It's the same thing. It's coming out of their same bank account.
That's marrying your finances. And I realize that you're going to do what you feel is best for you. And let's talk about that.
Because that shows you got trust or you don't.
I think it's scared. They're scared. A lot of people are scared for failure, the potential of failure, or they don't completely trust this person with their finances. And rightfully so, if the person is not right.
Right.
So that's where the dating comes in. And you need to pray. You need to ask God. You need to sit back. You need to watch how they're managing their finances. You need to ask questions. You need to communicate. But let's go back into why the 50-50 is probably not going to be sustainable. Because think about this for a minute, man and a woman. Okay, if you plan on having children, there's time either before she even has the baby. Say you want to have 3 children. So there's time where even before. So she's working if she chooses to. And then before the baby comes, there's time. She's taking time off. She's like, I don't want to use paid time. So then there's no money coming in. Are you going to have resentment? Can you cover the rest of the stuff? All of the bills, right? She's having a child.
Or is it like this at night? I really need you to go back to work. You know, it's killing me.
Even though I'm due in 2 days.
Working all this this overtime is really killing me. I need you to go back to work.
Okay.
Go back to work.
Right. And then she says, well, I want to be home for a month or so, whatever. She said, I'm going to use half time for, you know, the 6 weeks. And then I'm, you know, some of it's unpaid, some stay, whatever the case may be. So there's some times in there. And then she has another kid, another. That's what you guys are choosing to grow a family. And then on the flip side, he may have some personal stuff going on, health issues. And then he's like, okay, well, I need to take some time off work and some of it's unpaid. Are you going to be upset? Where's the 50-50 in that?
Right.
How are you splitting that? Unexpected health issues that come up within the family, meaning the children, God forbid, your parents, you, him, whatever the case may be, things happen. So then the 50-50 is out the window.
It boils down to compassion, too, because you have compassion for the one you love.
Uh-huh.
You know, if they need you, they need you. That means they need all of you.
Right.
Not just part of you, all of you. You can't split a person. They need all of you. So give them all.
Right.
Give them all.
Right. I think that the team mindset will take you further than any 50-50 split. Team. If you're a team, you mean, I got this. This is what I'm taking care of. You have that. We have a model that whoever's better at whatever it is, let them do that.
Right.
And I'm not talking about pretending not to know how to do something. I'm saying, really, like, this is my thing. I know this. The kitchen is for me. That's where I like to be, not because someone's telling me to.
And that's why I stay out.
And it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it that way.
Right.
You know, and Liz, you have to be invited in there to cook with me.
Yeah, I don't want no trouble.
So just let me have my space there, and then he's going to do whatever he wants to do, you know, and I'm not keeping score, like, okay, you need to take the trash out, you need to do this or whatever. And I think that if you have the team mindset when it comes to money and you're really trying to grow and build, you can accomplish so much more than being divided like that.
Yeah, financial, that's my wife's thing. That's her thing. She's the financial guru over here. She's the one who puts numbers and does this and does all this other stuff. That's why she's the CFO. She's not only the CFO of our businesses, she's the CFO of our marriage. And that's just the way that is. And I'm okay with that. I don't have a problem with that at all. At all. I really, really don't. Because if I did, it would be a problem. It would be a problem. Well, I need this, and I want that. I ain't got time for that, okay? Things are working. Let it ride.
Right.
Let it ride.
Right. Open communication, trust, transparency, and honesty. Marrying your finances.
She ain't telling me how to preach.
Nope.
You know?
Have no interest in doing that because you're doing a great job.
Right. Keep moving up.
Glory to God.
Can a brother get some salmon cakes with grits and some cheese in them grits?
Those salmon cakes are $6 a can. I say no. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But you have whatever you want. Marrying your finances. Listen, you can choose to put it all in one pot. You can choose to keep it separately and have a joint account. You can do whatever. Ultimately, you can do whatever you want to do. but you need to ask God what is the right thing to do for the family, right?
I agree 100%. I think this was a great episode. I hope that you guys out there enjoy this episode, because it takes honesty to listen to this and integrity. And I hope that you have it all. So listen hard, listen good, because it's only going to help you in the long run.
Absolutely. I have one last thing. I saw my note, and I'll say, ladies and gents, keep realistic expectations when it comes to money. If you meet someone and they are open with you and they say, listen, I'm in school, I'm in nursing school, I work part-time as a waiter, waitress right now, this is what I stand to make, then this is what I want to do, have a small wedding because I'm in school, you know, don't stop with the breaking the bank on the wedding, going into debt, and then your marriage is built on a foundation of debt. It causes stress and is like, it's a huge factor into divorce.
Yep.
And so I'm not telling you that you can't have your dream. You just need to be creative in doing so. But you should not have debt because of the wedding.
Replace debt with faith, okay? Mm-hmm. With faith and sound financial wisdom. You gotta believe in God, in Christ, okay? And all things are gonna work out. No reason to fight, no reason to huff and puff, no reason to hold grudges, no reason to do none of that. Just have faith and sound wisdom financially.
Right. Keep those expectations realistic. They're communicating to you that they don't have much money now, and this is what's going to happen when they get out of school, or this is the job they're in and they're set for a promotion here. If this is the job that they're in when you're marrying them, you can't have these ridiculous expectations for the marriage of wanting to do X, Y, Z if the money that's already there in the home does not meet that. It can't sustain the lifestyle that you have in your head. Mm-hmm. And then you shouldn't be chasing someone for that anyway, because that would be false. You would need to reevaluate. You shouldn't look at them for what they can give you, but what you can build together in God.
Amen. Amen. Well said. Listen, we love you guys.
Love you.
And until next time, God bless you.
God bless.